This week on the Pine Valley Podcast,
as we say a fond farewell to Downton Abbey,
we say thank you, Jesus, to a new and improved General Hospital.
Sad, and some not so sad comings and goings.
And white people win Oscars.
What else is new?
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
To the PVP, what's left of daytime, some prime time, and a little dose of reality. We gonna talk about that shit because we feel like it. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending March 11, 2016.
Woo! Wait, this is our first podcast of the year.
It's March.
It's our far back. You know why I know it's our first podcast of the year?
How?
Because I hate to say it, but we did not go into 2016, you know, on a nice note. There have been so many deaths, yes. Celebrity deaths in
comings and like, goings.
Like, I mean, it was out of control there for a while. Don't get me wrong.
Did it start with David Bowie?
No, I think David Bowie was in the middle or the towards the end of the. But even
Patricia Elliott, it started with her.
No, I don't even think it started with. There was
2015?
No, she was 2000. Was she 2000? Ooh. She might have been 2015 because we haven't done a podcast.
Great lady, great dame, Renee.
Renee from One Life to Live. You know, just
you gotta ask Soap Cyclopedia Hudson for this stuff. This is way beyond my pay grade.
No, but what I'm saying is like, you know, death happens, people. It's like people die, like hundreds of people die every single day. But we just
Life lessons from Jordan Hudson.
We just don't know them. But you know, with celebrities or people, you know, in the public eye, it's somebody that we all, like, know. So, because everybody's always like, oh, but it's not like you knew that person personally. But see, right now, somebody could be dying in the hospital. I don't know that person. I don't even know who that person's dying. But
so you don't care.
It's not that I don't care, but it's like, you don't know. You don't know. Like, that's why one of the reasons I can't read the newspaper or watch the news, because I get very, like when I hear about things, like I can't even get into it because I'm going to start crying.
His eyes are watering.
I stop reading the newspaper. Why? Because I can't deal with that, because it hurts me too much, you know, especially when it's something that's really senseless or just heartbreaking.
I can't.
So when you hear about these celebrities and people that you grew up with watching on TV or a public figure or a politician that you know or a musician that you like, it unites the world collectively. So that's why we get affected by all these people. And I'm sorry, 2016 started, it was like literally one after another. Like every week somebody was going.
Abe Vigoda,
who played Fish on Barney Miller and then his own show.
A lot of y'all don't know who he is. Way too young to know Abe Vigoda. The man was a master.
A master. Very good character actor. Another favorite of mine.
Who? He's crying already. It's too soon in the podcast to cry.
Pat Harrington Jr., who plays Schneider on One Day at a Time.
Oh, you're right. You people too young to remember him, too.
One Day at a Time is one of my favorite, all-time favorite comedy times.
You know, I sang my 82 Kids that theme song when he passed. I knew the whole thing.
You know,
they're making a remake of it. With Latinos.
Supposedly, Rita Moreno's playing the grandmother.
It's no lie.
I know.
Do you know what? Just as they're building a wall, they're remaking One Day at a Time with Mexicans.
They're making a Latino One Life to Live. So you know what that means, right?
What do you mean, Latino?
I mean, a Latino One Day at a Time. You know what that means, right?
What does that mean?
That means that Rebecca Budwig will probably be playing the lead role. Oscar's so white.
You sent me clips of her, by the way, in GH. We got to talk about
that. Yeah, we got to talk about her.
She needs Nectar Firm.
Somebody on my Facebook page. She was like, she needed the
Arizona
podcast and she could hear about
it. Nectar Firm. N-E-C-T-I-F-I-R-M. The shit is miraculous.
I love.
Look. No waddle. It's a little bit. But without it, it would be like down to here. I swear
you
to God.
Are so crazy.
I swear to God.
You're so crazy. So wait.
Who else died?
Big Ange, you're a reality fan. Did you watch Mob Wives?
No.
That's the one reality show you didn't watch. With all that trashy reality shows she watches,
she's like
Mob Wives. That's beneath
Beverly
me.
Beverly Hills, Married at First Sight, and The Bachelor.
Beverly.
And The Bachelorette.
Beverly
and
Hills
Bachelor
what?
Paradise.
Beverly Hills what?
Beverly Hills Housewives. Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God. I'd rather watch Mob Wives than that.
Well, I like Kim Richards because she is crazy.
That breaks my heart. You know what? I used to have a crush on her when I was a kid.
People are too young to know Kim Richards almost being eaten by dinosaurs in Land of the Lost.
And she was also in Escape from Witch Mountain, which I loved as a kid. Escape from Witch Mountain. And also,
she wasn't in Swiss Family Robinson, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, there were so many Swiss Family Robinsons. She might have been in one of them. She was that actress that was in everything when she was younger.
Everything
she was always
she
a
was
little
young.
Girl. And you know what else she was in?
She was gorgeous.
She played opposite my. This was when he was young and hot. She played opposite James Spader in Tough Turf. Oh my God! I have that movie on VHS. I loved me some Kim Richards. That's why I can't watch that show because it hurt. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I'm like, how do you turn from this young, beautiful actress to this hot mess?
It breaks my heart a little bit, but she is a major.
She's a mess.
She's gonna see you next Tuesday.
Is she? Because every time I see a clip, she seems like she's loca. She seems like she's crazy.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
And how does she survive? On what money?
I don't know.
I don't know how any of these reality people.
Her sister manages her money and stuff.
But what money? She hasn't made a movie in years.
She has some residuals, I'm sure.
A residual for what? Tough Turf?
I mean, she's unfortunate because I think she was around before residuals really like became.
I don't know. I can't watch those reality shows. I can't. I don't. But Big Ange from Natalie Cole.
Yes, Natalie Cole.
Oh my
you
God!
Know who I was sad about?
David Bowie.
I'll tell you who I was sad about. He is amazing. He's an amazing legend, a living one of our last living legends, really. When you think
Let's
about
dance.
It. Oh my God! But you Hold know what I was sad about? Renee Angelio, Celine Dion's husband. I was actually really sad about that. Because, you know, they're a tight family. Like, for whatever it's worth, we don't know what goes on behind closed walls, but they seem pretty tight. And they got the twins.
She loved
and they got
them.
Those kids.
And yeah.
She really
well,
liked
that, that's the other thing, too, is that those twins are going to grow up without a father. They're going to grow up without a father.
A little icky, I will say. She was like 18 or something when they got together, right? Or 16.
Oh, yeah, she was young.
A hair icky. A hair.
But you know what?
But they stuck together.
You know what really broke my heart?
What? These women, this woman's jeggings.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't.
She is spilling out
like,
of the jeggings.
And she's smoking a cigarette.
Smoking with a little
puffing
kid,
with a cigarette with a little
away.
Kid. That's so nasty.
She's got one of those bellies that looks like a cartoon belly.
And you know, they said it was going to be 70.
And she's like stick legs, but the whole entire belly, and she's not pregnant, is dangling out over the knees.
You are so cool. But you know what's amazing?
I can't believe those jeggings actually cover that belly.
They said that it's supposed to be 70 today. It doesn't feel like it's going to be 70. It's cool.
Because
it's nice.
Because I got the air conditioning on in my car.
No, it's cool outside. It's not that hot. I thought it was going to feel like 70. I was ready to go in my shorts and someday.
All right.
But wait.
What?
I didn't get to say.
What?
The sad thing that happened was that a week later, her brother died from cancer.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Celine Dion,
that
you know,
really
I'm not going to lie. I'm not necessarily the big, huge Celine Dion fan. I like a couple of her songs.
People tell me I look like her all the time. When I smile.
I can see it a little bit.
When I smile, they say, you have a smile like Celine Dion.
You're the short little Latin Celine Dion.
Maybe. I don't know. But that's weird, right? But that's why I feel connected to her.
I don't know. I just think, I don't even know how she is surviving. Could you imagine?
I agree.
That's. I don't know. I don't know. Very
Years
sad.
Ago, this writer, this is going to show my white side. This writer, Joan Didion, she is like a famous writer. Her husband was like, I forgot his name. He was like
Mr.
a famous
Didion.
Writer. His name was not Mr. Didion, but he was like, they were like writers in the 70s and all brilliant and shit. And they had this daughter. And first the husband died. And then the daughter died. Of sepsis. She was like a mother of like a kid and she was like 30 something and she died of sepsis.
Oh my God, I can't.
So this woman had to write this story about how, you know, sad. I mean, she wrote this book about how just she was like a shell of a human being. Like, how do you, it's kind of like Celine Dion. How do you get past that? Your beloved husband of many, 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 many years that was your life partner and then your daughter with your only child.
Oh, no, I can't. I'm not kidding you. My God.
She was just a shell of a person. He's crying, but it's true. It's horrible. But let's talk about this one. This is a good segue, actually.
Okay.
General Hospital.
Girl, I can't with General Hospital
right now. I'm so shocked because I fought with you.
I know.
Do you remember I fought with you on the phone?
Yeah, I know. I know.
I turn that shit on every day, like, was it 3 o'clock? Back to 3 o'clock?
Uh-huh.
3 o'clock now, and I still see some wacky shit. I don't know. I still see some stuff here and there, and I don't want to watch. I'm like, and I'm thinking in my head, because I'm so done with soaps, I'm thinking in my head that it's still Ron, even though I know on the last podcast we talked about Ron Colavati.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing some mob shit and stuff like that. And I'm just like, this sucks. It's ridiculous. I hate it. And he calls me. Jordan calls me and he says, no, they have new writers. You got to watch. You got to watch. And last time you had made an argument for them. You had said that they were doing some good stuff. And I was like, no, you full of it. You crazy. I didn't watch this crap. And then you send me like 5 links to 5 like video cut
clips
yep. of certain scenes, mostly of Morgan and Kiki.
Mm-hmm.
And also Sunny and Carly.
Right.
And I was freaking crying in the car watching them. I wasn't driving people. I mean, sort of.
You were in traffic.
I was in traffic.
Damn, I
watched some of them pulled over after I dropped off my 72nd child at preschool. And then I watched some clips. And then I got on the road and there was a lot of traffic. And so I could watch no problem without killing myself or anybody else. And it was incredible.
No, I was waiting for the day that I did not see the writer's name in the opening credits. That's what Tony Geary calls him.
How do we come so low?
I what do you mean?
We worshipped him when he was writing for One Life
well,
to Live.
Y'all, for those of you who say, oh, Jordan's a hypocrite because he used to love Ron, you need to go back and listen to those old podcasts because I always said that Ron...
You're a hypocrite.
That, no, I'm just saying because
nobody
if anybody's saying... No,
that.
Because there's Ron...
Both
there's,
of I call our listeners
them,
love you.
I call them color zombies. They're these people that still are praying at the altar of Ron Colavati and how unjust it was that he was fired and how great writer he was and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, y'all people need to wake up. I mean, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Ron was okay on One Life to Live. He did a bang-up General Hospital. On General Hospital, he did
he
a bang-up John in the
that
first
gay story
the first year and a half.
One Life to Live that was beautiful.
The first, no. I
was groundbreaking.
Listen.
Was that not groundbreaking?
Wait, listen. Let me finish.
Was it? Was
let me finish.
It?
Let me finish. I always said, if you listen to the podcast, I've always said Ron was a great writer. He was a great writer for today's generation of viewers. I always said that I prefer the classic way of doing a soap opera. I prefer the Agnes Nixon, Claire LeBond way.
I did love what Ron... Like pace? You talk about pace?
Pace, more character-driven scenes, more... Ron has a way of writing stuff that it's very tongue-in-cheek, and it worked on One Life to Live. And you know what? His writing worked on General Hospital at the beginning.
But he had stakes, and he did not carry stories out for 82 years.
No.
You could have a viewing gap on All My Children back in the day of a year and a half or 3 years, and you would know what the hell was going on.
I know, but you know what? I prefer my soaps that way.
No,
I
but
really
it was
like.
Bad. It was never getting a next. It was almost like they didn't know where to go.
Are you talking about All My Children in the 80s
All
or
my
the?
Children, no, not in the 80s. But like
well, no,
the
I'm talking
like
about
the
80s. 90s, I'm talking about the 80s. I'm talking about the
2000s.
80s. I'm talking about the old ways.
I
feel that Ron was a great writer for today's generation. I mean, he knew how to keep the storyline moving. But you know what? The thing is that people are not admitting that at one point, Ron seemed to be smoking crack when he killed.
When he killed
AJ, and then all of a sudden characters were just doing the most craziest stuff that made no sense.
Wasn't that more contract issue? Like
no, see that's the thing. Certain people are telling me that he was being forced by the network to do certain things and blah 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 blah. And it's like, all right, let's say for instance he was forced to write off Duke for whatever reason, right? They wanted Duke written off. Are you going to tell me that they told him that he had to be killed off the way he did? That Anna then had to kill the guy who killed Duke? I mean, that's your
dumb
choice as a writer.
Dumb.
Anna did not... Cesar Faison has tortured Anna for decades. Who the hell is he? Faison. You remember Faison?
What does he look like?
The crazy guy with the accent.
Oh, my God. I'm so sick of accents.
He tortured Anna for decades. He took away her life for years.
We're going to have a character
with
accents.
He was responsible for her and Robert you know, supposed death and them vanishing for years and losing so much of her life. And she didn't kill Faison. We're supposed to believe that she killed the guy who killed Duke. Duke, who I know everybody swears is the love of her life, but Duke and her were together for just a couple of years before he died.
Who cares?
And he wasn't with them. He wasn't with them for 40 years. And yes, she moved on with Ryan. So my point is, I don't
because
buy.
Because the love of her life was Leo. And she didn't make out with him when he came back to life. And I hate her for it.
I don't buy Anna killing.
I would have jumped on his pee-pee.
You're missing
That's
my
what
point.
I would have done.
My point is, my point is, I don't buy Anna killing. What's his name? Carlos.
I don't buy any of the murders on that damn show. It's ridiculous. Well, the old lady coming in with her shaking hand and everybody's scared.
I know. Ron lost his way. And the minute...
Lost his way!
The minute I did not see his name on the opening credits and I saw the new head writers, which I think is... If I'm not mistaken, I know it's Gene Passamonte and I think it's Shelley Altman. The minute I saw their names, I already, in that first episode... You could see the difference in the show.
He was jumping for joy.
The tonality had changed.
He was weeping.
The scenes have been character driven. Longer scenes, character driven scenes. Really hard. And all of a sudden, I was starting to feel, as the months have gone by, I've been starting to feel like I really like these characters
like
all of a sudden.
Like you can breathe again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I care about them.
I do.
And
so.
that's the thing.
The things you said.
I mean, it's been one thing after another, and it has all led up to February. February was the really big change in General Hospital. A lot of storylines had built up, and they didn't play out the way that I thought they were going to play out. I really thought we were going to have another drug lord coming in and this and that. And instead, these writers did the reverse. It's not to say that they're going to write it out or end it, but they're acknowledging the fact that for the last almost 20 years, General Hospital has glamorized violence and guns. And in this day and age, when we're in our society dealing with the gun control issue and the, you know, yeah, it's irreprehensible for this show to still continue to glamorize this.
Sorry.
Ooh, now it's your phone, not my phone.
Sorry. It's Carlos.
You know, it's a great that they're... Ooh, shoot!
Ooh, you
look at that fire. Hello. He could put out my fire. Whip out your hose, baby. He was hot. Did you see him?
Yes, they were all actually kind of attractive.
I only saw that one.
The men you pick, I'm just like, oh, my God.
No, he was hot.
He was actually good looking.
Oh, my God. No, I got to tell you, the firemen and the cops in the Bronx, they shipped all the hot ones out here, girl.
Really?
Yeah.
The cops, too? Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's some fine Papi Chulo
right,
cops
good.
Running around
That's
here. All right, anyway. So, I'm getting hot.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
What?
It annoyed me, and I've talked to you about this for years, and it didn't just annoy me, it pissed me off. The way that they wave around guns and shoot people with no freaking, like no ramification. That's why I used to love Breaking Bad. Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, okay. I know Breaking Bad.
The reason why I love this is because you actually had to deal with the consequences of, like, when you killed somebody. It was messy freaking business to get rid of the bodies.
Yeah.
And half of the first season was spent on how do we get rid of these freaking bodies that we're killing. It was disgusting, gross, but it was truthful because it's like... That's a big thing. And they were killing people left and right on General Hospital. And what I loved about the clip you sent me, when Carly...
Laura Wright, yeah, Carly.
Yeah, she's like going off on Sonny about, she's pointing at the guns. I guess it was a gun shipment, right?
Right, right.
Like that. And that shit's true. Gun shipments like that in the black market, that shit is true. And she was going off on him about that. And she said, look at my hands. And I'm going to cry. My hands have blood on them. This is blood. And then she actually, Kiki's blood. And then she went to the bathroom with that shirtless young 22-year-old doctor. He happened to have his shirt off the whole time.
I know. Well, it's a soap opera, girl. You're not going to get away from that.
Anyway, she goes and she washes her hands and she's scrubbing them. And there's blood everywhere. And she's flashing back and thinking. And I was like, bravo.
Wasn't that scene so
thrilled.
How? But not just.
Because it was, the pace was good. Like,
not just,
like
that's
her,
insane.
It was like the stages of dealing with these realizations and the actual physical. I thought of Jackie O wearing the blood of JFK on her pink dress for days after her husband was shot and murdered. I just thought of that, and I loved it, and I cried, and I was just like,
that's the thing. It's not even just the acting, but the direction, the director and the editors,
beautiful.
And it was such a well-written,
quiet,
well-directed,
beautiful,
well-edited,
poignant, powerful.
Oh, my God. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, as great as Ron was, even in his heyday, we never kind of got scenes with this kind of depth.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I just remember loving One Life to Live. And I remember the small, quiet scenes of, was it Fish? Was that the guy's name? The two guys in bed together.
I know. And what happened with them? They wrote them out.
I know. But that's my point. That's my point. I just remember these quiet scenes of these two men in love, making love. And those are beautiful moments.
No, I'm not saying they weren't. I'm not saying they weren't beautiful moments, but I'm saying
I feel like he understood moments. Something happened to you, Ron Carlovati. You really lost your freaking way.
Put down the pipe. Put down the pipe, girl. Put down the pipe, girl.
But you know what else too? What I think is so smart about it is that the genre is limited. There's no money. You can't do these freaking. We were talking last week.
Yeah, last week about
the earthquake scenes. And
yeah, going on vacation, going to Bahamas, shooting for weeks in like a location. Those days are over, girl.
They're done.
But you know what? We don't need that.
I know, but that's my point. What I was gonna say was this style of writing is actually much smarter. Don't freaking make these dumb plot, you know, curling your mustache plot points with villains and this and that. You can't freaking execute that. You don't got the money. You don't got the writing talent. You don't have the time. Don't execute that crap. Execute these small, poignant moments. And it was a brilliant, brilliant thing to just have Carly washing blood from her hands. It felt real. It was in a bathroom. You know, it felt truthful. Shirtless doctor at all.
Yeah, Laura, I gotta tell you, Laura Wright is getting, like, girl, get ready for that other Emmy, because she's been giving a performance and a half. Well,
even when Morgan was on the getting ready to commit suicide, there's been 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 times we've seen this scene in soap operas. Mm-hmm. Of the guy standing or the girl standing on the edge of the bridge, gonna end it all. And so you wanna see it done, not differently necessarily, but you wanna, you know, it's been done before. I can feel very blah. It could feel very like, who cares, whatever, not gonna jump, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or they're gonna jump, they're gonna get saved by, you know, a freaking awning or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This scene, I'm so glad you said it to me. Mm-hmm. Because I love that Morgan saw Kiki in his vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that she said, let's do it. Let's jump together. While she held the bullet in her hand and he grabbed it. I love that. That was so challenging. Because normally you get the soupy, stereotypical, don't do it. You have so much to live for. I love you. All that crap. You didn't get that.
Well, yeah.
You got truth. And then his father came in and said, I'm going to jump with you. I lost it.
Yeah, but see, but the reason you got that was because Morgan's dealing with his guilt. So, obviously, she would tell him that.
Yeah.
And
I don't know about obvious, though.
No. I'm saying where the writers were going with it. I think in the writer's head that they really, this was their idea, was that Morgan's dealing with this bipolar. He's feeling like a failure.
Like
he's
his
feeling
dad, too.
Yeah.
And I'm new to this, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but
you know.
I love that his father has.
Yeah, no, Sonny, we have dealt in the past with Sonny's character time, having, yeah, you
an
know,
actor.
The bipolar. He's bipolar in real life. And they did do a great job. But again, this was back in the late 90s before Jill Farren Phelps took over. I'm going to tell you.
Is Bob, she still producing?
No, she was let go. She was let go as producer.
God.
But see, that's the funny thing is that Bob Guza and Chuck Pratt took over right after Claire Levine left. And those years when Wendy Rich was still the EP, the show was very well written, even though Chuck Pratt and Bob Guza were still writing it. It didn't go off the rails until Jill Farren Phelps came on as executive producer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that's because Jill Farren Phelps was forcing them as writers to write crazy stuff, or if she just wasn't controlling them and Wendy Rich would, you know? Who knows what goes on behind scenes? All I know is that this is the first time since Claire Levine left that I'm enjoying the show as much as I'm enjoying right now. I mean, it's
that's
literally
a lot. That's
a lot.
High
and
praise.
And I gotta tell you, it's the first time since Claire Levine that General Hospital has had a female head writer. Two no less.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm not trying to look, as a man, I'm not trying to say that men can't write soaps. I'm just pointing out a fact.
No.
This is the first time.
Because even in soaps, which is a largely female medium, you still got men at the top of the chart.
Yeah,
so
no.
I think you're right. I agree.
There's been
you.
Many male head writers that I love. Harding LeMay, Douglas
is Frank
Marlin.
Still EPing?
Frank is still EPing.
Frank Valentin.
Yeah, he's still EPing. You know, he's kind of keeping on the DL since the whole Ron thing. You know, you don't hear from him as much. You know, the way he used to be all over
like
the place.
Him.
No, I still want to have sex with him and be his husband.
He's gorgeous.
I don't think he's into Latin guys. Well, at least not into this Latin guy. But But no, but that reason that I love that Kiki and Morgan scene was because at this point, we don't know. General Hospital is so unpredictable that we don't know who they're going to write off. You know, these are new head writers.
I have an idea for them to write off. Pulu.
Listen.
I guess they're Pulu.
I actually was wondering if they were going to kill Kiki off. And when Morgan saw Kiki up there.
At least I got rid of Horseface.
I thought oh my God. Move,
getting rid of Horseface.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you about that. I thought Kiki was dead and then Morgan was seeing her ghost. That's what I first thought.
Right,
and
yeah,
so when they went back and Kiki was still, you know, alive, I was like, oh my God, this is Morgan being delusional. This is Morgan having an episode. This, you know, and I gotta tell you, I know a lot of people don't like the new Kiki, but since the new writers have come on, they've been giving her really great material, and she's really risen to the occasion.
You could put and a popsicle scenes, stick on after Horseface, and the acting would have been improved.
I'm not saying anything. We're not going to agree on that. But listen.
She's such a bad actress.
New Kiki was so good in those scenes with Morgan on the roof. Those were some of her. That was some of her best work ever. She was brilliant.
She was great.
She really was. Her delivery. Because she seemed like this. She wasn't like Kiki. You know. She was like this. Like this. The devil on his shoulder, telling him to jump. It was I was blown away by her performance. I was blown away by Morgan's performance. Michael, Sonny, I love my sexy.
I wasn't blown away by Sonny's performance. On the roof, yes. Other parts, no. He phones it in a lot. You got to admit.
There's a lot of people that feel like you do.
That scene with him and Carly with the guns, I really felt like that was visually so powerful. Seeing those crates and crates of guns, because that is true.
I mean, and the thing is,
that's how guns get passed back and forth in this country by the freaking thousands and thousands and thousands. And I think he could have had more connection to that.
And for those of you who haven't kept watching, it's been an ongoing storyline. They've had some great scenes this week. On Monday's episode, Sonny and Carly had the most incredible scenes, incredible writing, really discussing their history. And it was so great to see Carly finally own up to the fact that Sonny glamorizes violence and stuff. And she goes, and this is my fault. She goes, this is our fault. We put our children in this situation. She goes, and I never learn. I keep coming back. I never learn. And they talked about the fact that it's not healthy. And she asked him, she goes, I'm not asking you to change. I know this is your business. She goes, but can you at least try to settle things without guns, without, you know, at first, at least. And I appreciated that. I appreciated the fact that because as much as people are like, well, Claire Levine brought on Sonny and the mob. But see, the difference between that is that Claire Levine never allowed the mob to take over her shows. The mob was a big going on thing in Ryan's Hope. Joe Novak was part of the mob. That was one of the hard things that kept Joe and Siobhan apart for so many years. But she never let the mob take over.
Right.
She never let. You rarely saw gunshots. There'd be incredible scenes where the mob boss would maybe threaten somebody, but not with guns. Not with guns. A lot of stuff happened off camera.
Right.
And there's a way of doing it. Even when Sonny was on, when Claire Levine was writing for Sonny, it wasn't like what Guza and I still remember the one episode that really disgusted me was when Guza, and I think it was Guza, I know it was either Guza or Pratt as head writer, when they had the character Faith Roscoe and Jason Morgan and Sonny have a big gunfight in a church. And I'm like, this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm not a prude, but this is not. If I want to see stuff like that, I watch my primetime shows. I watch my shows on HBO or something about violence and stuff like this. This is General Hospital. I don't want to be watching guns ablazing in a freaking church.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's insane. And the new head writers get that, it seems. It seems, at least right now, the storylines are becoming more about the characters. Roger Howarth has been...
You saw him in the street talking.
Yes, to himself. He's probably going over lines, girl.
Yeah, he's probably going over lines.
You know, that's an actor thing.
He was talking to himself in the
street. I saw him on Mulberry Street in the lower. Yeah, and I was surprised because he's out in LA for General Hospital. Maybe he had an audition here or something.
I hope he's here.
But I got to tell you, he has been doing some of the most beautiful work of his career
he's
in the last.
A great actor.
I know, so no, great. You don't know because you haven't seen it. He had the most incredible scenes with Elizabeth. With Maura West, with Ava, with Kiki. I mean, I have been literally Roger.
It was really good.
This is reminding me of the stuff that you did with my girl Florencia back in the day when Claire wrote for you. You have been.
That was some heat, right?
You
there.
Have been so incredible.
You gotta send me some Florence. Some what the hell's her name again?
Taya?
Yeah, Taya and Todd.
Too. Oh my God, I lit. You don't
some
understand.
Sexy ass scene.
Nobody wrote for Taya and Todd like Claire Levine.
Oh
Roger,
my God.
I'm sorry, Claire Levine. Era with Roger Howarth and Florencia, that will always be my favorite era of One Life to Live.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Why the hell is that German lady still running the hospital?
I don't know, but I love her.
Oh, my God.
And I love what I love how the new writers are writing. The new writers are writing right for her. They're not making her a caricature like Ron did.
She is a caricature.
No, no. You haven't been watching. You haven't seen. You haven't watched her on the new writers. Every character who's been out of control over the top, the new writers have made them, grounded them, and made. I love Nina now. I hated Nina before.
I did too.
I love Nina now. Nina's so much more interesting now that she's being written like an adult and not a 5-year old child. Well, girl, she was in a coma for 30 years. I gotta tell you though, Roger Howard been blowing me.
I don't think she's had enough for him.
Roger Howard's.
Do you think she's had enough of Roger Howard?
I think they might be putting him with Elizabeth if she doesn't leave.
Who's Elizabeth again?
Rebecca Herbst.
Oh yeah. Oh, she milk toast though. He needs a spicy, sassy lady. He needs like a Puerto Rican.
Like he needs Florencia.
He needs Ashley Mendoza.
He needs Florencia. No, bring Florencia on as somebody new.
Ashley Mendoza will be a match for him. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but the best thing right now in General Hospital, hands down, Jane Elliott finally has her own storyline. She is not being saddled with that rundown. What do you call an old boat? Barnacle?
Barnacle.
Is that a word?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's that old barnacle. Yeah, that old barnacle Tony Geary. She's not saddled with that anchor around her head.
God.
She has been given her own storyline. Tracy's been having seizures. They finally diagnosed her.
What was it?
She has lesions in her brain. So they don't know what to do.
You sent me the clip, and then you
yeah.
Like,
oh,
like,
girl, but let me tell
diagnosis.
You, Jane Elliott's been giving the performance of a lifetime. She is Tracy 100%. She's giving everybody attitude. She don't want to hear it. Ooh, hello.
Oh, Steve, stop.
Oh, yes.
He's cute. Oh,
that body. He's Dominican. I didn't say that I don't like sleeping with Dominicans. They're very good in bed, and they know how to do hair really good. Those are two things I love Dominicans for.
You don't have
any hair. No, a Dominican man cuts my hair every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get this cut every week, girl. Oh, God.
He got a nice body.
Nice body. Nice body. Great face.
He's going to slap you.
I would love to sit in that face.
Oh, my God. All right, we got like 14 minutes.
Oh, wait. So, Jane Elliott. This Monday, her and Monica had the only scenes.
Monica's still alive?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
And let me tell you, she told Tracy all.
I thought for some reason she was a going.
Tracy was like, you know what Tracy had the audacity to tell? Tracy told her, you know that you want me dead. You want me, as many times as you throw me out of the house, don't give me your fake concern. Don't insult both of us by claiming that you care about me. And she stormed out, and Monica was not having it. Monica went up to her and she goes, listen, you bitch, I put up with you for 32 years. And I just sat there. Jane Elliott was just like looking at her. She goes, and I'm going to be.
She called her a bitch?
Yeah, she called her a bitch. She goes, I'm going to be with you the entire time. I'm going to look over your treatment. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to be there for you. And if you don't like it, tough it.
Listen, we got great
deal
parallels
with that.
To that. We got Vicky and what's her name?
Dorian. But see, the writers know this, and they're using the veterans.
That's good stuff.
In a good way.
I was all about
Tracy and Monica on Monday. I was living for them. The whole hour could have been in the two of them, and I would have been fine.
All right,
I would have been fine.
You sent me one other clip of Days of Our Lives of Hope shooting.
Yes. Days of Our Lives.
Wait, I just have a question for you.
What?
Was I supposed to be like, wowed and impressed? I'm just curious.
I'm just curious. Yes, it was good. You needed to see the whole scene.
No, because listen, this is what I'm going to tell you.
You needed to see the whole scene.
No.
You're seeing it out of context.
Can you give me some?
I couldn't find the whole scene.
Listen, you sent me out of context stuff for General Hospital, and I was like crying. When I saw I'm sorry, Buffy, but when I saw the Days clip, it was like the production value was so bad. It was so cheesy. It was so old fashioned. I was just like.
Well, that's what I love about Days. It reminds me of my children back in the 80s.
It's like literally looked like it could have been 1987.
Yeah, I know. That's what I love about
like,
it.
The film
I know,
and
yeah.
It's not an HD.
You know what else? The set.
Yeah,
the Horton. I think that's the same Horton couch from 1967.
Money and they're keeping it going, so that's fine. But it was, I felt bad. I was like, oh,
well, look,
what is
my,
that going
I'm, I'm still loving Days of Our Lives a lot. My only problem with Days of Our Lives right now is that they are on warp speed, and they're telling everything so fast. I mean,
not fast enough for me.
It's like I just feel like they're missing some moments. They're, you know, I'm still entertained. I'm still watching every day. I'm not fast forwarding anybody, but it's just like I just wish they would slow the pace down and not rush the storylines, because they got so much possibility and so much juicy stuff, and I feel like we're missing stuff. We're not seeing certain things. I mean, characters are not.
I'd like to see less of certain things.
Like what? You don't even watch the show. What are you? Your opinion don't count. You don't even watch it. Right now, the only thing that the teen storyline is very dated. The teens don't sound like teens.
I know.
Like
you
teens.
Showed me General Hospital teen storylines. Compare it. And it was a beautiful scene. Beautiful scene.
No, the Days of Our Lives teens, I got to tell you. When you have teens saying, oh, my God, I really like Lawrence Welk. Me too. There's a problem. It wasn't Lawrence Welk, but it was somebody that.
Were they wearing Bobby socks?
No. It was somebody else. It wasn't Lawrence Welk. It wasn't that bad. But when the character said that, I'm like, what teenager is going to know who that person is, let alone listen to that music?
Can I digress for just one second? So while we were gone, they did the Grease Live musical.
I didn't see it. Did you see it?
All right, so I tuned in. But I tuned in like midway, right?
Uh-huh.
So I missed the whole speech about Vanessa Hudgens' dad dying, like the day before.
Yeah. No, I think the same day.
Or that day.
Yeah.
And I was harshing on Vanessa Hudgens like you wouldn't believe. Like, her, what she said.
And then you felt like crap, right?
And then people, like, one girl actually was kind of like, no, you are wrong. And I was like, okay. And I joked back. I was like, my eyes hurt from watching Vanessa Hudgens. It was like that bad, right? And then I found out the next day that her father died that day. I have to tell you, for like a week, I felt terrible.
You know who you felt like?
Who?
Like Nancy Grant after that.
I'm sure not that many people noticed, because I'm never on Twitter. But I was like tweeting shit for like the first time in 22 years, and it was against Vanessa Hudgens. Girl, I'm sorry. Like, you ain't... That ain't right. I felt so terrible. I had a pit in my stomach. I felt really bad. Because, like, I have a kid. I have a daughter. Like, if her dad died and she went up and sang her little heart out the freaking day he died... That was bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
People.
I mean, I didn't see it. I really wanted to see it.
It was in hindsight, it was terrible.
Well, I only wanted to see it for one reason. Aaron Tebbit, who's playing Danny Zuko.
I don't care.
Let me tell you something. I wish he was into Latin guys, because I heard he's gay.
He's not from my hometown. He's from a friend of mine's hometown.
I heard he's gay, but I don't think he's into Latin guys. I would do him in a second.
Good.
I would marry him. I don't care if
he
he's good.
Good.
He's so hot.
Can I tell you,
oh my
the performances? I'll be honest with you. I was not impressed.
What's her name? Looks like Sandy, though.
She really looks
like Olivia and John.
She looks like
it's
her,
scary.
But everything else sucked. Everything else sucked, but here's what was great.
Fans loved it.
But production was freaking awesome. Awesome.
Everybody loved it.
No. The production was awesome. And I have such respect for all that crew. They made, like, the indoor shots, they made the whole, everybody part of it, the whole carnival at the end. The production value was so daring and bold and exciting and fun. The actors could have been singing, like, you know, the Peanuts song. It wouldn't have mattered, because that was so damn good. And the older performers were excellent.
I can't get into all these
musicals.
And
the dancers, I'm going to take it back. Just the lead, for me, the lead performances were not good. Uh-huh. But the dancers were freaking incredible.
Because they probably got like really like...
Incredible.
You know, Broadway-like dancers.
They really did. What's her name? Julianne Hough? She didn't barely dance.
Well, Julianne has a dancer, but I don't think she's like a Broadway dancer. She's like a ballroom
but
dancer.
But they were doing the kind of dancing that she does. I've seen her dancing. She could do anything. The girl's a miracle on the floor.
I mean, I'm surprised about Aaron Tebbit, because Aaron Tebbit is a Broadway actor.
No,
so.
He's great, but here's what one reviewer said. Like Danny Zuko was like dangerous. He was like when you said to yourself he's on the wrong side of the tracks, he did feel like he was on the wrong side of the tracks.
Aaron
Tebbit was always like a nice guy.
He's on my side of the tracks, boy. Let me tell you.
Of course he is. But you know what I'm saying. Be honest, right? Danny Zuko was like dangerous. And then like him with Sandy was
Glazed donut.
Oh my God. I'm gonna drop it. Oh, let's segue. John Travolta. American Crime.
The worst. I'm not watching.
You're not. What happened? You
I lived through it. I don't need to see it. I lived through it. That's the reason that the soap operas died, was because of that damn OJ trial.
Don't confuse it. American Crime Story.
American Crime Story is the horrible thing on FX.
Right.
And American Crime is the brilliant piece of work on ABC.
Gotcha. All right.
Let's keep it real.
But I heard American Crime Story was really good, except for John Travolta.
No, I heard he was ridiculous and pathetic and fat. I'm hearing from everybody how brilliant it is, and that everybody's giving brilliant performances. Me personally, I have no desire to see it. I'm sorry.
Sarah Paulson is so much prettier than Marsha Clark.
I lived through it. It destroyed soap operas. You know, my feeling is like, you know what? Everybody's forgetting that a man and a woman were killed and murdered, and their families, you know, it's been, let them rest in peace. Let their families not have to live through this. I mean,
they pointed out on American Housewives that Faye Resnick, Housewives of Beverly Hills, Faye Resnick is now making an appearance because she's friends with Kyle Richards. She's been friends forever. And I remembered, and someone pointed out from a few seasons back, that Faye Resnick posed for Playboy after this whole murder.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason she was able to pose for Playboy is because her friend was brutally murdered by O.J. Simpson.
I know.
That's disgusting.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
does that say about a person?
If
you're like, oh, my poor friend was killed. Playboy? Yeah, let's do Playboy. Like, fuck. Excuse my language. I'm going to have to bleep that out. But F you. Seriously.
Yeah.
F you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look, for me, I have no desire to see it. I think right now there is no show, even on cable, that is as brilliant right now as American Crime. The second season.
The first season was shit.
Well, I never even finished the first season. I can't speak on the first season. I didn't like the first season at all. I saw the first 3 episodes, couldn't get in. But the second season was totally... You understand, this is a show that hyped itself as being innovative, as being different, as being edgy, as showing something new. And when I saw the first season, the first 3 episodes, I was like, same old, white people killed, black drug dealers did it, Latino being arrested for helping, blah, blah, blah. That was nothing different. New, but with this season, we're actually seeing something that's relevant. We're seeing something that's timely. Now, I don't know if I would have felt the same if it would have been a girl that was raped, but it was a boy that was raped.
Yeah, boy was raped.
And they're dealing with and the kids on this show come across, they sound like real kids. They come across like real kids.
Rich kids, right?
Huh?
Rich kids, right?
No, not all the kids are rich. And
but the kid, wasn't that at a boarding school or something?
No, it was an elite school. But a couple of the kids that are, especially the kids that are involved in the main storyline, were kids that were like, I guess, they got scholarships and stuff. So they're not necessarily, and the show is tackling everything about, it's about race, it's about rape, it's about how kids, I'm going to say this, anybody that's a parent right now or a teacher should be watching this show.
How's your girl doing?
Should be watching this show.
How's your girl?
Who?
Blondie, older Blondie. Is she in it?
Who?
What's his name's wife? William F. Macy's wife.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
No, they're all giving the performance of their careers. You know why I love their performance? Because Felicity Huffman, Regina King, and what's his name?
How the hell do I know?
Ordinary People.
Timothy Hutton. See, that's my era.
Yeah. The three of them... always thought the three of them are brilliant actors.
Used to be, but
you need
hot
to
too.
You need to watch
the
season.
I would jump on his peepee too.
Listen, you need to watch.
But I want to talk about Finn Wittrock before we end the show.
All right.
Because his peepee is bad.
Oh my God, I can't deal with Finn Wittrock.
I need it.
All right, listen.
Okay.
The three of them are giving performances that are so nuanced, so fascinating. They created these characters that are so real and so you got to watch Felicity Huffman, Regina King, and Timothy Hutton this season to understand. And it's not just them. The teenagers that they cast, Connor Jessup, I've been a big believer in since
I discovered him
in Falling
how
Skies. I don't know how you know it, but this young man does not win an Emmy for this performance. No justice. I mean, this storyline, I don't even know how, tonight's the finale, and I don't even know how the writers are going to end this because there's so much going on and so many interesting things and so many stories, so much left still to tell. But you know what? Like in real life, we don't always get a happy ending or things tied up in a bow. So I'm actually going to be okay with the fact if
you
everything...
You do if you watch Downton Abbey.
No, I didn't feel Downton Abbey tied everything up in a bow. No, it didn't.
It wasn't not going to. It always
No. We don't know if Tom ever remarried or he ever found love. I was very upset that Tom didn't get
But he's got this
The gay butler.
He's got his business with...
The gay butler.
With Henry.
Now, see, I would admit, as much as it would have been really corny, I would have loved for Thomas to have met somebody before
Of course, but Tom is secure in the family. He's butler now. He's head butler. That's
I know, but he's not gonna. He's gonna spend the rest of his life alone and depressed. That's why he was like the way he was, because he was alone.
No, but he also, he was the way he was because he wasn't wanted. Downton Abbey was everything to him. It was all he had in the world, and it was rejecting him.
I think that if he would have got a hot piece of ass, it would have been better for him. He would have been a lot more happy. I know I would.
He's much, even though he's gay and all that stuff, he's still much like, what's his name? Carson, Mr. Carson. You know what I mean? Like, they lived in the old way. They wanted that position. They were service people. That's what they believed in.
Down Abbey went out the way it came in. Classy, elegant, a blaze of glory. I loved it. Abbey.
Seriously, like Birdie and what's her name? She's the worst actress on the whole show. What the hell is her name? Mary's sister.
Edith. Oh my God! You know what? Jen hates it too. Jen, this is for you. Are you listening, Jen? This is for you.
Thank you.
Ashley hates her too.
Thank you.
I love her.
Yes, because this is Edith saying I love you to Birdie. But Birdie, look at me. I love you. I've never loved anyone but you. And she's looking. Her eyes are looking everywhere. And she's acting up a storm. She's just smacking up a storm. I couldn't stand her. She's horrible. So I couldn't stand. But her saying to the mother that she had bore a child that out of wedlock and had that kid and was raising that kid, and the mother's like, oh, okay, well, you are honest enough to tell me, so it's perfectly fine. That's bullshit.
I don't care. I liked it. I loved it. It went out the way it came in. I loved it.
But
it
what you want to know something?
Branson.
I loved it too.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. You know what I'm going to miss most?
Who?
Branson.
Tom?
Tom Branson. Oh, Alan Leach, girl.
Oh my God.
He's my everything. He's perfect. I just want to be like, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Daddy, give it to me.
Stop. He's going to be fine.
I love Irishmen. Oh my God.
He's great, though. He's a great actor. He was on, like, what was that big, huge movie? The World War II
I'm
movie.
I'm obsessed with him.
With the code or whatever.
I'm really obsessed with him.
How am I forgetting this?
He's beautiful. He's everything.
What else we got?
He's straight. I know it.
What else
me.
We got?
Real, we gotta mention the elephant in the room.
Please.
Oscar's so white.
All right, fine. But Jada, I literally have negative.
All right, I'm gonna say this real quick. Jada Pinkett Smith. I don't like her, and I don't like Will Smith. That's just a fact.
They messed up.
I think they're idiots. But I will say that I think what she did was great, because what it did was it opened the door for everybody to really be open and honest and having this discussion about whitewashing in Hollywood.
Yes.
It also has shown us how racist people still are, because I've been seeing posts and hearing things and getting pissed off and getting mad, and I almost got into an argument with somebody. There's a friend with somebody I know, because it's like, dude, you don't even realize how racist you sound. It's just like he had the audacity to knock the post and say, well, you know what? You people have no right to complain. What about when Latin actors are playing white characters? You can't have it both ways. If you want me to be upset about the fact that white people are playing your roles, then you got to be upset when Latin people are. And it's like, you know what? That's not the same thing. You can't even compare that, because first of all, we're not even up for your roles. They don't even consider. It's not like when a casting.
But there are issues there. There's a ton of issues with white people.
No, when I get on Actors Access and I'm looking at roles, I see point blank Caucasian. So I'm not being able to submit for those roles. But yet, it's okay when the character's Latin, all of a sudden you're sending in Charlie Hunnam, who's British, and Catherine Zeta-Jones for the role.
Oh,
so
yeah, you
there
told
is
me that.
There is an issue. There is a huge issue.
Playing? She's playing
playing some drug lord, some Colombian drug lord, and he's playing a Mexican drug lord.
You told me that.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So yeah, there is an issue. There is a huge issue. And you know what? I applaud Chris Rock. But you know what, Chris Rock? I have to admit that I agree with Tina Fey, what Tina Fey said about the Oscars. And I'm
what'd
sorry.
What'd she say?
She just felt that it was political correct bullshit, and I agree with her to an extent. Because I'm watching the Oscars. Let me finish.
That.
Yes, she did. She did. And I agree with her to an extent. Because when I'm coming to watch the Oscars, see who's going to win the awards, blah, 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 blah. It's one thing for you to say your piece. It's another thing for you to make the entire show about this one incident. And I'm sorry. After a while, I got bored. I'm like, all right, yes, we get that there's a race problem in Hollywood.
He
you know what?
He was not going to win if he didn't talk about it.
You're
the whole
not.
Time.
I'm not. Hey, listen. I'm not saying that he couldn't talk. Listen, I'm not. You're not listening to me. I'm not saying that he couldn't talk about it. What I'm saying is it became a lecture. I felt like I was getting lectured the entire time, not just by him, by everybody. Everybody had their viewpoint, and everybody had that whole Lady Gaga with the rape thing. Yes, it was very poignant that all these people that were attacked were up there. That was beautiful. That was brilliant.
That was great.
No, that was great. I didn't feel her performance, I got to tell you. Her singing that song, I didn't feel it.
All right.
I didn't feel it.
She was pretty
amazing. But that's a beautiful thing. That's making a statement without knocking us over
the head. You don't have much left up there.
Some of Chris Rock's jokes were brilliant. Some of them were really like the sketch thing when he was interviewing the people outside of the movie theater. That was some funny
that
shit.
That was hysterical.
That was hysterical.
But can I say one thing? Our little Reggie has come a long way.
Who's Reggie?
Michael B. Jordan. He was announcing all the
I'm not a
Oscars.
Fan of his. He knocked the
but
soap.
He knocked the soap opera.
I know, but he knocked his years in the soap opera. When an actor does that, I don't respect them.
When did he do that?
He did that somewhere along the line.
That.
Yeah, he said something negative about the fact that he was on All My Children. I don't do that.
All right.
That's why I like what's her name, Julianne Moore. You know why?
Because
she respects that. She realizes that's what made her. That's what was part of what. Enable her to get to where
absolutely.
She is. Do you know she came back for the last episode?
Oh, she's so good. Good for
she
her.
Came back. And she was Julianne Moore at this point.
Right.
You know, when As the World Turns ended. And she told them, I want to come back for just to be there for the end. And she had one little quick scene.
Well, we'll need to come back to you all because I got to pick up child number 87. Because
the damn traffic ruined everything.
It did.
But we got a podcast to you. That's something,
sorry,
baby. That's
something.
No,
here,
that's
like,
good.
An hour late.
That's good for them. That's good for them. They're getting something from us.
All right.
I promise we'll pick up where we left off on the next podcast.
I don't even know how to end because I don't remember our email address.
If
you want to write us, I think it's pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com.
Or you could just hit me up on Facebook.
Facebook is good. And also, shout out to Shadow. I haven't talked to him in a while.
I know, Shadow. How you doing?
How are you? And to all of the people who said happy birthday to me yesterday.
I know.
Nice.
How does it feel being 69?
Shut up. Let's just say we had a great night at the Cheesecake Factory. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I was hoping you'd tell me you had a great time being 69.
No, I wish. My goodness.
Oh,
my
God.
I was at bed at like 10 o'clock last night.
It's been so long, it's sealed up again.
But can I... It's disgusting.
I wasn't talking about you, I was talking about me.
He's a real sicko.
Oh,
listen, we're trying to end the podcast.
Oh, we're trying to end real quick. I gotta end it this way. Next month, April 2016.
Oh, right.
Latin Lies will be returning.
Yes,
I swear, April 2016 is coming back. And keep watching the Facebook page because I'm gonna be posting the exact day.
It's gonna be good.
Soon. It's gonna be great.
He calls me laughing and crying every other day. This was great. That was terrible.
You're gonna love it.
Blood, sweat, and tears, people. This production is blood, sweat, and tears, Latin Lives.
All right, you're gonna have to go pick up your daughter before they put her on the curb.
BVP@pinevalleypodcast.com. Facebook page for Ashley Mendoza and for Jordan Hudson and for the Pine Valley Podcast. You can also go to our Blogger page. I'll post it on Blogger. www.pinevalleypodcast.blogspot.com and keep us posted. Thank you. It was great seeing everyone's messages come through yesterday. It was so lovely. And we have so many people that have been with us for years.
I know.
You know what's funny? I got another birthday message from Gina Tognani. I have four from her. One from 2012, 2013, 2000, actually five.
Gina?
2014, 2015. She sends like a birthday treatise. Live as if you've never... loved, laughed, whatever, like all those. I gotta post them. They're hysterical. Gina Tognani, I love you. You have a really lovely way of sending personal messages to people on their birthday that are inspirational. They're like, they should be like framed and hung in like doctor's offices. Her words of wisdom. Gina Tognani's words of wisdom.
Gina, thanks to you, I might be watching Young and the Restless.
Ah, all awesome. She's a great lady. Thank you. I'm teasing you a little bit, but they're great.
I saw a clip of her this week, and I think Young and the Restless might actually be worth watching. It looked really good.
All right. Well, thank you again. I am Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Hey, good boys.
There seems to be so many of them these days.
After six seasons, the time finally came to say goodbye to Downton Abbey. But if you were expecting a sad ending, you were disappointed, because it was pretty much all good news, starting with Bertie and Edith.
My son is engaged to marry the wonderful Lady Edith Crawley, who is here tonight with her parents. Let us drink their health. Edith and Bertie.
Edith is going to be happy. Just think about that.
You're right, of course. Hurrah.
As for Lady Mary and Henry, he bought a car dealership and she revealed she's pregnant.
What? You were sure?
I'm quite sure. But you mustn't tell a soul. I don't want to steal Edith's thunder.
And with love in the air and Lady Grantham by her side, Isabel swept Lord Merton off his feet.
Mrs. Crawley wants to take you away from your son and your family and kidnap you into marriage. What do you say?
How perfectly marvelous.
Meanwhile, at the estate, Daisy cut her hair and Andy really liked it. And did I mention Rose came into town and showed off pictures of her kids? Then there was the wedding, which went off without a hitch.
Edith and Bertie, bride and groom.
Although there was a little drama going on upstairs.
Ah, your waters are broken. Right.
We have a son, John.
And there actually was a little bad news as life caught up with Mr. Carson.
Good God. I'm sorry, my lord.
Yeah, I was looking for Mr. Moseley.
Granddad called it the palsy, but these days I just have shaky hands. The plain truth is I'm done for.
But he wasn't completely done for.
You and Mrs. Hughes will stay in your cottage, but what if we were to ask Barrow to be the new butler?
And then the Lord of the Help and the Lord of the Manor shared a moment.
We are very grateful to you, Carson. I hope you know that. Very grateful indeed for everything.
And just like that, Downton Abbey was over.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne?